Hi, this is Dr. Will Horton, and today I wanted to talk to you about something that came to me today when I was taking care of the horse this morning. My wife's out of town, so I get the joy of taking care of the horse, cleaning the stalls, changing his water, cleaning the pasture, dumping the manure. And I always use the analogy of sometimes you got to dump that crap to make things pretty. And it also leads me down several other ideas as we're doing this. I'm always helping people grow and change. That's one of my goals. It's one of my passions. But for those of us that really want to help other people, as well as ourselves, we have to really look beyond the normal. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever been physically hungry, I mean really hungry, you search out something that'll fill you up. And that's easy to do. You'll go to the refrigerator, you'll go to the store, you'll stop and eat. That's fine. But what if you're spiritually hungry? What if your soul's hungry? What if you have a soul ache that you need to answer? And that's what a lot of us are working on. And one of the issues I see, especially those of us in the helping fields, and for anyone else listening to this or watching this, that's not in the helping fields, we're all in the helping fields, whether you do it professionally as a hypnotist, a psychologist, an NLPer, whatever it happens to be. But if you're a parent, if you're a friend, if you're a family member, we're always helping other people. But to really help other people, first of all, you have to help yourself. First of all, you have to answer your own soul's cry. And this is one of the things that I've been working on, because I've been getting a lot of calls, especially since I announced I'm going to be doing an all-new class, the NLP Life Coaching, which would be different than anything else I've ever attempted to teach for a couple of different levels. I've taught coaching. I've taught NLP for 30 plus years. But this one will be a little bit different in that you have to go through the coaching process before I'll teach you how to help other people. And so I've been getting some calls. And today when I was out in the pasture helping clean everything, it made me realize, well, you know, first of all, you have to get the old stuff out before you can put new stuff in. And so whether you're cleaning a stall of basically manure or cleaning your mind of all the clutter that's holding your back, what stops us from really going to the next level? And a lot of us have that soul hunger. A lot of us want to help other people and help ourselves reach the next level. So how do you begin to listen to your soul? How do you do this? Many of us find different ways: meditation, yoga, working out, some other spiritual practice, or meditation, self-hypnosis. All of these are answers. But what if it's something even more simple? What if it's listening to that small, still voice within? Well, how do you begin to access that small, still voice? Well, first of all, a lot of times your subconscious mind is trying to talk to you. It's trying to communicate with you. It's trying to help you in different ways. It's trying to ignite that small, still voice, but it can't get your attention. You have all this clutter going on in your mind that it can't cut through. So it makes you feel uncomfortable. It gives you bad feelings at certain times. But most of us have been trained to ignore those. We're going to ignore those. And unless you can really get in touch with that, then you really can't begin to listen to your heart. And your heart speaks through your body sometimes. Until you develop that clear communication between mind, body, and spirit that here, especially in the Western world, and now even in what used to be the more spiritual areas, have been beaten out by current technology like we're on today. So how do you do this? How do we really do this? Well, first of all, you have to do a couple of different things. And I promised as I started this, I'm going to give you a couple of techniques you can begin to do in your life today that'll help you change. You can do now to help take your life to the next level. I practice what I call practical spirituality. I've been on this quest for way over 37 years. When I first beat an addiction, I started looking for something because I had a hole in my soul. I had a hole in my heart, and I was searching for ways to fill it. And so, like a lot of us, I listened to motivational speakers, I listened to spiritual speakers, I read books, and a lot of them sound good, but there's no there. And what I'm looking for when I say that there's no there, is fine, you're giving me these bright, deep intellectual thoughts. Are you giving me the steps to get there? Maybe it's because I've been practicing NLP so long. Unless you give me the steps to get there, I don't know how helpful it is. I need the steps to get there. And so I've been developing this over the past 30-something years. And so how do you begin to listen to that, to open yourself up to that small, still voice within, to that, to listen to your heart, and to basically begin to get in touch with those aspects of yourself? Well, the first thing we need to do is begin to stop doing something else. And that is asking ourselves disempowering questions. Because when you ask yourself disempowering questions, when you ask yourself questions that hold you back, when you ask questions of yourself, that is going to start negative energy flowing in your mind, body, and spirit. Because your brain, your mind can only try to answer the questions you're asking. So if you ask low energy, unempowering questions, disempowering questions like, why me? Why does this all, woe is me? Why does this always happen to me? Well, your brain's got to give you an answer, even if it makes something up, because you're not worth it, because you're unlovable, because you're fat, because you're stupid. Whatever it is, it's going to give you that. And then that becomes your truth. And again, a lot of this is how our brains are trained. It's how we've trained our brains through culture, through education, through the family system. I always use the analogy that if you got a test back and it said plus 97, if it said plus 97, I guarantee you'll have a response. Think about it now. You took a test. I give you a test. It's plus 97. Most of us smile. We go, woohoo. We just look at it. We go, great. And we move on. If you get a test back, same 100 questions, and it said minus 3, you get a whole different response. Why is that? Same exact numbers, minus 3 plus 97. It's the same statistical numbers. It gives you two different responses. Most people that get, the research says, most people that get the negative 3 will look up the 3 questions they got wrong. The people that get the plus 97 will not. Right? So how many of us do that to our kids? Maybe it was done to us, not with malicious intent. It's just the way, well, look at the ones you got wrong so you don't do that next time. And then not that there's anything wrong with that, but it begins to start us on this negative trajectory. Nothing I do is good enough. You ever have that feeling? Nothing I do is good enough. You know, as Woody Allen would say, I'd never join a group that would allow a guy like me as a member. I never felt up to par. And if that's going on, maybe you've trained yourself to look for reasons not to fit in, to look for reasons to be different, and maybe not in a good way, to alienate yourself from the group for that connection that you want. And if you ask yourself disempowering negative questions, it's going to do that. You know, why can't I lose weight? If you ask yourself that question, when I used to have my clinic, that was a common question. Why can't I lose weight? I do everything right. I just can't lose weight. And then your brain will come up with some stupid reason, some lie, if you will. Like, oh, it's your genetics. It's your thyroid. You know, it could just be you're not really doing what you need to do. So the first thing we have to do is change the questions we're asking ourselves. So instead of asking negative questions, ask yourself good questions. When I'm doing addiction treatment, this is one of the first things I do, because people go, oh, I'll never be able to stop drinking. Or it's going to be boring when I stop drinking or drugging, gambling, whatever the addiction is. But if they begin to ask themselves, how can I enjoy this today? How can I enjoy my new sobriety? How can I enjoy this? Much like when you are first falling in love, I get excited when I talk about this. When you first fall in love, you're always saying, oh, how can I enjoy this with her or him or, you know, whatever's politically correct to say, but how can I enjoy this? Ooh, I wonder if they like this. Ooh. And so you're asking these positive questions and you're stepping up rather than how's this going to go wrong today? I used to do this experiment with people going into the office. When you have a bad day, if you could backtrack, if we could do a forensic research on you, I wonder how many people going in go, ugh, wonder what's going to go wrong today. Wonder if the boss is in a bad mood. I wonder if this, but it's negative, and then you're going to go there and find it. As opposed to when you go in thinking, how is this going to be a beautiful day? Your whole day is different. I remember I first learned this when I was first getting sober, and I forget how powerful it is, and I forget to teach it to other people. I had a job I didn't really like. It was the only job I could get, and it was working in a steel mill, doing some contracting work at a steel mill, not intellectual work, physical work. I know people that know me can't imagine that. But I remember I was all negative. And somebody who didn't really know the technology, and I was just beginning to learn this technology, said to me, well, when you're driving into the plant in the morning, why don't you just look at the beautiful sunrise? Because we had to be there really early. And just think about how can I enjoy today? And I started doing that. And guess what? I started enjoying that job. Within about 3 weeks, they were saying, "Hey, Will, we know you're just, you know, you're getting." They knew my story. They said, "You know, if you'd like to stick around, we'd like to move you inside and do this, this, and this." And I did that for a while. But if you think about it, because my attitude changed, my energy changed, I started asking myself empowering questions. What can go right today? I wonder what can do this today. I wonder how I can get in better touch with my feelings. And if you're trying to answer your soul's cry, what if you start asking yourself, how can I listen to that small, still voice within? Maybe that I can't even hear yet. How can I do this? Your brain will find a way. How can I get in touch with those feelings that maybe I'm not comfortable with? Maybe your body is channeling anger or fear or resentment or isolation because it's trying to get your attention to do something else. And one of the worst things we do is we deny that this is part of us. And again, when I was on my quest and I was listening to all these speakers and reading all these books, I was always fascinated with people who say, "I never have anger. I've risen above anger. I only feel love and the expression of love. Everything is love." And I'm like, "Well, that's not me. I get pissed off all the time. I'm always dealing with that. That's my body trying to tell me something." There was a book several years ago I used to tell people to read called The Gift of Fear. And when I say that, people go, "How can fear be a gift?" Well, we'll leave that for a future talk. But I have to get in touch with those feelings. And what are they trying to tell me? You know, God gave us all of these feelings, positive and negative, for a reason. And if you shut off one part, maybe you shut off the other. Can you have great passion without feeling the opposite? Maybe that's anger. Maybe that's fear. Maybe that's resentment, whatever it is. But passionate people have strong feelings because passion is a strong emotion. And I'm always fascinated when I hear someone talk about their passion. This is so passionate. It's my life's mission. This is what I'm passionate about. But I'm listening. I don't hear the passion. I don't feel the passion. And if somebody has passion, it will literally jump off the television screen or the computer screen or out of the speakers when you're listening. I think it ripples through because if you begin to understand the new stuff with quantum, it actually is. So if you start asking yourself empowering questions, what that's doing is beginning to retrain your reticular activating system to look for this instead of that. When you're asking the negative questions, you're telling your reticular activating system, find ways to screw up today. Find ways for me to fight with my wife or my boss or my coworker, or whatever it is. Instead of, how can I enjoy this? Your brain will find it. And maybe it'll do things like, hey, if you go down the path of, say, how will this go wrong today? If you work with other people, and they do something, it'll aggravate you and that'll ruin your day. But if you're asking, how can things go right today? Maybe they do the exact same thing and you go, that's Joe, that's Betty. And you just enjoy the day. And maybe what a great person said once is you have to have childlike faith. And people read in all kinds of different things to that. Maybe that's just having that, enjoying the moment. You ever watch a little kid? They just get lost in playing with, I was at a beach and there was these kids there, little kids. And it was kind of fun. They were just so lost in the beach, in this experience. They were tiny. I'm not good with age, but they might've been their first time to the beach or they're forming memories. It's the first time they can remember going to the beach. And so they're just having fun and doing this and doing that. They weren't worried about anything. They were lost in the moment. And unfortunately, we beat that out of ourselves. How can we get lost in the moment? Maybe the question we ask ourselves, how can I enjoy every moment of the day? And then even when the moments don't go quite as enjoyable as other moments, you find moments that you can enjoy. So begin asking yourself empowering questions and catch yourself when you're asking disempowering questions. And we do that. Or disempowering statements. I can't remember. I'm terrible at names. Well, then your brain goes, okay, we'll make you, we all know that if you're into hypnosis and NLP, but do you still do it? I've been to hypnosis conferences and you hear people, well, you know, I just can't remember. I don't do this. I'm not good at names. You know, what if you ask yourself, how can I be good at names today? And you start remembering the names because your brain will go, oh, this must be important to me. Right? So what I'm going to ask you to do is ask yourself empowering questions. And so this is just a quick podcast or recording I wanted to get out there on level one. And tomorrow is, or the next one will be on how do you find your gift? How do you bring your gift to the world? You know, the world doesn't need another Tony Robbins or Deepak Chopra or anyone. The world doesn't need that. It needs you. Every one of us has our own talents, abilities, and skills. Only you can do what you were put here to do. But first, you have to get in touch with that. And you can't get in touch with that if you don't get in touch with yourself. That's one of the things. So we see people buying into other people's maybe misguided passions and missions in this because they're not in touch with themselves enough to develop their own purpose, passion, and mission. So I just wanted to put that out there. So ask yourself empowering questions for the next few days. If you work with other people or your family members, ask them to ask themselves empowering questions. How can I enjoy the day? How can I do this today? How can I do that today? How can I enjoy this new moment that I'm experiencing? And so that's today's quick podcast / recording. I thank you for joining me, and I look forward as we keep trudging the road to growth. So thank you, and it's been a pleasure for me to share with you this information.